Hello and good evening. I'm laughing, sorry. Hello and good evening. This is Being Mindful. My name is Norma and I am in the studio today with Pastor Deji. Unfortunately, sadly, we're missing Lillian. She's not here.
Yes, I know. Such a gap, such a loss for us today.
Yes, the giggles. I miss the giggles.
We'll try and make up.
Yes. Being Mindful is our weekly broadcast that explores issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, our finances, family, relationships, career, and so much more. And if this is your first time, thank you for joining us today. We hope you have a good time with us. Let us tell you that this is where we discuss topics around how we can respond when we or others in our lives are confronted with all kinds of issues as Christians, because even though we are not of the world, we are certainly in the world. And so we deal with stuff as well. So as always during the show, we would love for you to get in touch regarding today's topic. The easiest way for you to do that is to contact us using the PHBC Radio app. Just tap on the link to contact the studio and send us a message directly from wherever you are. Also, you can reach us through social media. You can also connect with us by using our social media handles, which is at PHBC London. Use that and you can find us on Twitter, on Instagram and Facebook. And any message you send during the show will come directly to us in the studio and we'll be able to read it live if we have time. If there's no time for that, then definitely, God willing, we'll be able to address that tomorrow. Not tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I'm sorry. Next week. So today we're going to be talking about our word life, right? And I feel like, and I was saying to Pastor Deji at a point before we got live, that everything starts with our thoughts. Before we say things, we often think it and meditate on it. So we're going to be combining both about our thoughts life, our words, how to manage them as Christians, and just explore that conversation. Hopefully, we'll be able to round it off today. If not, we'll extend that to next week. As is our usual tradition here on Being Mindful, we usually ask, what is on your mind? So I'm going to pass this on to Pastor Deji. Pastor Deji, good evening. Can you tell us what's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is the fact that... what's... well, here are the giggles.
Exactly.
What's on my mind is that at exactly 7 p.m., at exactly 7 p.m. BST, I pressed the button to go live on the show. I pressed the button anyway.
A button.
A button, exactly. A button. Interesting, I pressed the red button, yeah. And you know, as you do. And yes, we went live, as it were, and we kept talking. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, why is my wife calling me? She knows I'm in the studio. She knows I'm in a show. And then I look at my phone, there's a message saying, bruv, you're not live.
No.
I was like, yes, I am. I pressed the button. And I looked up. I pressed the record button, not the go live button.
Where is Lillian? She would have been sitting close to you to be like, is it on?
Is it the right one?
Yeah, Lillian, we miss you.
So that's the first thing that's on my mind. But beyond that... So apologies for the late start. Don't worry, we're still going to do this. We're we're doing the full hour.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. We're
okay.
Doing the hour.
Okay.
Yeah. So beyond that, what's been on my mind as we prepared to go live is so in London, in South London, in Southeast London, particularly if you're listening from here, it's raining and it has been raining for a good couple of hours now. It's just, it's wet. It's great weather for ducks, you know, and swan and geese.
Yeah.
And today I've had a fairly good day, fairly fulfilled day. I've had a number of pastoral situations that I've had to speak into, sessions with individuals that I've had to speak into. And so I'm thinking about the rain, and often when it's raining, like yesterday at church, I said to the church family, I said, oh, how many people are glad for the rain? And, you know, quite a few people put their hands up and somebody was like, no, I want the sun. I want the sun. And sometimes we get ourselves into that place where I think the president said it was kidding, but I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. But sometimes we get into that place where it's easy to see something from only one side and not see the bigger picture. Yeah. You know, oh, you want the sun? Go live in the Sahara Desert. Try that for size. The people who say, yeah, I want the sun, I love going to Dubai, can only go to Dubai for a week or two before they start feeling like a piece of chicken. I've never been to Dubai. I'm scared of that kind of heat.
Really hot.
Yeah. You know, 43 degrees is for food. As far as I'm concerned, I'm looking at the rain and I'm thinking about the bigger picture. And so bringing it back to the people that I met, the people that I spoke with today, there were three individuals who are going through what I will call a season of rain. And scripture says that we should count it joy when we fall into diverse trials and temptations, when we fall into these challenges and, you know, when stuff gets tough, count it joy, be joyful for the tough. Do you know, and I'm what's on my mind is my hope and prayer that they are seeing the bigger picture.
Yeah.
That they are seeing that, you know what? This rain is working something good, a far greater and eternal weight of glory. If you understand what I mean. And that's the upside downity of sorry,
good
folks.
Way to put it.
Yeah, the upside, and it's you know, I have questions for God. I have a lot of questions for God.
Yes,
I hope I remember.
Blown away by glory.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, number one, I'm not blown away by glory. Number two, will I care? Number three, will I remember? will I remember? I'm so sorry. I couldn't help that. Oh no, this is not that kind of show. Anyway, and it's the whole thing about, you know, God says, you know, the scripture teaches, if you want to be at the front, go to the back. You know, if you want to receive,
you give.
If you want to live, you die.
Yeah.
If you want joy, go through diverse trials and temptation. Oh, come on, Lord. Come on, Father.
Yes, and it's interesting you say that, because I was also thinking about that exactly today. And for some reason, I don't know where I have been, but I just found out about the whole Sudan thing going on just today. I don't know what's happening.
The journalist doesn't watch the news.
I'm sorry. I'm going to blame assignments for that. I've just been under like some rock somewhere. So I was just catching up with that today. And I was seeing how different countries were coming in and they were, you know, pulling out their nationals and things like that. And I was saying, oh, this is an expression of love. And then I was thinking about it as a Christian. Like, that's what we expect God to do for us. Once things are tough, difficult, it's like, okay, get me out of here. You know, I've done one day in this. It's okay. I've done a week here. It's okay. And I was saying how sometimes, again, because like you said, the bigger picture, God leaves us there. Yes. And I was saying that looking at these countries who are pulling out their nationals, we're going to call that love. We're going to say, this is what love is. You bring out your people from tough situations.
Yes. You rescue them.
You rescue them. And I was like, and I was saying to myself, I have to be careful not to look at God's love in the way that the world also calls love, because for God, he's not going to bring me out of every situation immediately. Anyway,
some of them he won't bring you out for stuff,
you know.
Ask Jesus.
Amen. Like, that's so true, you know. So I had to tell myself, like, look, like you said, I called it the backwardness in quotes of the kingdom, because God's love is nothing like the way the world loves. So I have to be, and if you're like me, and sometimes you just struggle with that when you're in situations and you start having that question of, oh God, do you love me?
Yeah.
He does.
Look, but my Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me?
But there's just a bigger picture, and because of that, he can't get to you at the time that you want him to.
Well, it's that whole valley of the shadow of death thing, isn't it? You know, we forget the fact that in the valley of the shadow of death, he is there. But beyond the valley of the shadow of death is the table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. Beyond the valley of the shadow of death is the head, the anointing of our heads with oil.
Yes.
You know, beyond this valley of the shadow of death is the cup of abundance that overflows. I think it's easy, you know, to think about the fact that Jesus calms the storm, but sometimes he actually doesn't. He doesn't calm the storm. He calms us.
And he just walks beside us. There's this popular, I don't know if you ever, I'm sure you have, in my house growing up, my mom had this frame about two foot.
Yeah, the footsteps.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Everybody's had footsteps in one house or another.
Yeah, so it's something like that. You Indeed. Know, sometimes he just carries you. He doesn't change the situation, yes. but he just carries you through. So yeah, that's true.
Wow. So that's what's on my mind.
Yeah.
Other than the Sudan thing that you just discovered, what's yeah. on your mind? What are you thinking?
Okay, so for me, I would say, so what I have been thinking about yesterday when I was doing my quiet time, I was reading Psalm 5, verse 3, I think, and was talking about David was saying how early in the morning he presents his requests to God and he waits with expectation. And in meditating on that, for me, I became convicted that a lot of times I don't, there's some prayers that I've already concluded, this is already difficult, mm-hmm. but just so it's not as if I am not praying about it, let me pray. And then I am not looking out for I'm not expecting. And it was just that reminder that that's what prayer is about. Prayer is not something that you just tick off. Mm-hmm. And it's not something, it's not a religious rite that you do.
Mm-hmm,
it's an expression of faith. So there should be expectation. Once you pray, you should actually just be on the watch to see what God is doing about that situation. And so intentionally, I've had to be conscious of that. You know, just especially if you've been a Christian for a long time, some things can just become so easy to do. You're not even thinking, have that, you know, yes. new believer kind of energy type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a reminder for me. So I also just want to encourage everyone as well, whoever is in that space or whoever is connecting to this in terms of when you pray and you almost just like, okay, this is difficult, but I'm just going to say it in prayer and move on. I think expectation, because God can do it, and that's how he wants us to approach things with him.
Prayer should be dialogical. It should be conversational, no matter yeah. how long that conversation. I mean, you can send the question in, you know, on the 3rd of January,
yeah.
you know, and receive the response yeah. on the 1st of March,
yeah.
you know. But it should be conversational. Mm. It should be dialogical.
Yeah.
There is an answer somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the issue is that because we're not expected, sometimes we don't receive because we're not expectant.
Yeah.
Like you say, we do it as a one-way thing. Well, I've told God, and we walk away.
Mm.
And God's trying to tell us the answer. He's showing us. He's sending us the answer. But because we're not expectant, we're not looking for it.
Exactly.
And if we're not gonna look for it, how do we find?
Yeah, how do we know he has answered then? Yes. So that's been on my mind. And yeah. And I'm trying to now be conscious, you know, even about, because sometimes I feel like as well, sometimes we think, or I think, oh, this is just too little for God to be bothered with, like assignments.
Yeah, little,
for example. So when I was like, when I wanted to do some research, so after I did this, you know, had this conviction, so I was about to just start doing some research for my assignment. And I usually like pray before I do any work. And so I was just saying, okay, God, I need you to lead me to the right places on the internet that are going to have the kind of information that I need. And I felt a difference because I was praying expecting that was going to happen as soon as I started work. And so, yes. And then I was able to actually see, like you said, okay, this, looking back, I was like, oh, this is good. I've had a very productive day because I found what I was looking for. God answered, you know? So yeah. So it's,
but I love that. And I think it's important. I mean, we, you know, prayer, maybe we'll do prayer as a session, you know, another topic. But it is about the expectation. It's about the hope. Okay, we've prayed and we're expectant.
Mm.
But what are we doing in our expectation?
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yes.
What are we doing in our expectation? Because I think that's also really, really critical. What are we expecting God to do? And what are we doing while we're expecting God to do it?
Yes.
Wow. And because you didn't just stand there passively saying, okay, I'm expecting.
Yeah.
You went to look for the answer.
Yes.
In the right, you know, in the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, sometimes we're like, okay, God, lead me, but we stand still.
Yeah.
Come on, lift your foot. Yeah.
Take a step.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen.
Okay, we're going to go on a break now.
Yeah.
And then we have a song. I think this one is You Say, but it's the instrumental. It's not the acapella. Oh, it's the acapella.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. And then after that, when we return, we'll get into our conversation for today.
keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am. 'Cause I need to know who. Oh, you say I'm loved, but I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong, I think I'm weak. You say I'm held when I am falling short, when I don't belong. Oh, you say everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity. Ooh, you say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say victory.
Welcome back. This is Being Mindful. If you're just tuning in, welcome. This is a show where we explore issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family issues, relationships, career, and so much more. And that was You Say. I really like that song. The first time I ever heard it, although not this version is like mind-blowing. The first time I heard that song, it got me really emotional. And I feel like it's very apt, isn't it, for what we want to discuss today, which is about our words and how the combination of that, words and thoughts, actually. And I like the message in this song that speaks to just believing what God says about you regardless of your situation or circumstance. Yes,
yeah. I mean, BYU noteworthy. There are this, I mean, you know, I think it's probably about, I think there's 7 or 8 of them.
Mm.
But when you hear them singing, it sounds like a full band.
Yes.
But that was totally a cappella. Everything we just heard.
I'm going to look for that.
Was everything. Everything we heard was just voice. That's that was amazing. Pure vocals. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so before we get into the conversation, I just wanted to read something because this is, when it comes to our words or our thought life, the Bible has so many scriptures that address this. And so I want to, before we get into it, I want to read a passage from the book of James chapter 3. And I'm sure if you're a Bible, you already know like what that chapter is about. But anyway, I'll still read it. So I'm going to start from verse 4. And he says, "And a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction, for it's is set on fire by hell itself."
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
What version is that?
This is NLT.
Ooh. New Living Translation.
New Living Translation.
For those of us who are not theologians.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm. New Living Translation. Yeah. So this is one of those popular verses that whenever conversations like this or even, you know, sermons are about what we say, this is one of those passages that comes up a lot. And for me, I think it's one of those things that I feel like we all struggle with it, especially as Christians, especially when we're looking at it in the lens of our situation sometimes. And
we
want to call it what it is. But I want to ask you, Pastor Deji, because I've been in conversations where people say, you know, when people say things like, "Oh, don't say you're sick. Say you're, you know, when you're feeling like aches," and they say, "No, say you're well." And then and someone says, "But that's a lie." And someone says, "But that's denial." Like, what, when we talk about like managing our words, is it in that sense of, okay, when you're feeling sad, don't say you're sad. Say you have joy. Like, what is that?
Here we go. Here we go. So the Bible talks about the faith that calls those things that are not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What is that?
That be not as though they are.
Uh-huh. and in fact, I'm just trying to
Romans.
So faith, Romans 14 is talking about the faith, you know, God is the Father. "I've made thee father of many nations," it says, right? Mm. You know, I'm talking about the faith that calls that thing that he's talking about, Abraham, obviously.
Mm.
And obviously, as we know, Abraham was the father of faith, you know, he's the one, the epitome of what it means to be a faithful person or a person of faith.
Mm.
And it's talking about, you know, Abraham having a faith that gives life to the dead, and calls into being the things that did not exist, that kind of faith. So when we look at that particular verse in Romans 4:17, and we're saying, you know, inevitably, there will be sermons around that.
Yeah.
That's about positive confession and about, hey, say what you want to see.
Mm.
The Bible says, you know, "And thou shalt decree a thing and it will be established unto thee."
Mm.
Nothing wrong with that. The faith that calls, you say what you want to see, right?
Yeah.
True. So but at the same time, what are we saying?
Mm.
You know, so the people who say, you know, right now I'm self-identifying as the king of Sweden, the king of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Is that any different?
Mm.
There's also a reality. When we're talking about the power of words, and the number of times Jesus said to people, "What do you want?"
Mm.
This is Jesus. This is what he already knew.
Yeah,
true. He knew. Bartimaeus, the blind Bartimaeus, power of words, screamed out at the top of his lungs. He wouldn't be silenced. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me."
Mm.
Yeah, Jesus knew what he wanted, but still entered into dialogue with him. Okay, what's going on? What's up? What's up here?
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus entered into dialogue with Martha, what's up here? It's tell me what you want. Place your order. What is your request?
Yeah.
And the number of times I've had that, and I previous church tradition, you know, where people would be, oh, yeah, my enemy has a headache. I'm like, all right, that's not a prayer request. That's a testimony. And I remember I actually said that to somebody one time.
Yeah.
I said, oh, what's the matter? Oh, my enemy has a headache. And I got so irritated. I said, great. And I walked off and I started walking away. You know, and she was like, excuse me, what are you doing? And I said, I don't understand. I told you my enemy has a headache. I said, yeah, great. You know, that's a testimony.
Yeah.
And I kept walking. She's like, wait. Aren't you going to pray for me? I said, pray what?
Yeah.
I said, well, maybe a prayer of thanksgiving that your enemy has a headache.
Mm-hmm.
She said, okay. Pray for me. I've got a headache. I said, there we go. Mm. Now I know what to do. I know how to address the situation.
Yeah.
Jesus comes quick. Your friend Lazarus is dead.
Mm.
Do you understand? It didn't come to him and say, Lazarus is alive.
Mm.
So it's where do we have to ensure we're getting the right balance, in my opinion.
Yes, yes. Because I have, like I said, I've been in those kind of conversations. And to be honest, sometimes I get, I almost understand both sides. You know, when I listen to the arguments, I can almost understand both sides. But for me, stepping away from that, when I think about our words, I usually, for me, I attach it to prayer, right?
Indeed.
And I feel like, when you pray about something, like you have an issue and you've prayed about it, I think to step out of the place of prayer and then continue being negative about that situation, that's a problem.
Yes.
Because even the Bible says that a person who is unstable in all their ways, don't expect to receive anything because you have prayed for something to happen, and then you go and say, I don't know why things always happen wrong in my life. I am so unlucky. So it's like, what do you want?
What do you want? Absolutely.
So I look at it from that angle, and I feel like that's where the self-control needs to come from. Because I think there are people who are just naturally negative people.
Yes.
Naturally pessimistic. Yes. Like, they're just...
Their disposition is to be down.
Exactly. And I think for people like that, that's where the struggle is. You know, it's about and it's not really about being positive. It's about having faith, because it's not just about, it's not this whole positive vibes thing. Is that when you pray, like we said before we went on the break, you pray with expectation.
Mm-hmm.
You pray expecting a miracle. You pray expecting an answer. Mm-hmm. Yes, the answer may not look like, God doesn't always answer us in the way we think it should be dressed in. Sometimes the answer comes in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But having that expectation, then we go out and then we speak life, like the Bible says. Then we keep speaking life over that situation, because we need to know that we have an enemy. He works with fear, and he's just going to keep, you know, are you sure? You know, the way he came at Eve, you know, did God really say, are you sure this thing is going to, you know, happen? You know, the other time, that's how you were also expecting, and that one did not. He knows how to get you, you know?
Absolutely.
And work you into, like, being negative. And before you know it, you're in that, you know, you're spiraling, as they say, into that darkness.
So. And I think it's important, I think it's too often, just too often, we go into this, we're polarized in our thinking. It's got to be either one or the other. And it's like, and in some regards, yes, there are some choices that are absolutely binary.
Yeah.
Yes or no. You know, do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
Is a no. Hang on a minute, is a no.
Yeah.
Can I get back to you? Is a no. You know, you know, people think, oh, but will you marry me? Is a no. You know?
Yeah.
Can I get back to you? Listen,
is a no.
You know, is a no.
True.
Do you understand? Until it is a yes, everything is a no.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
there are some things that are binary.
Mm.
But let's look at, I think it's Mark chapter 9, the father whose son was brought to Jesus.
Mm.
You know, and the dad was like, oh yeah, he has these epileptic fits. It flings him. I've been so concerned. Sometimes it even flings him into the fire.
Mm.
And Jesus said, do you believe he can be healed? Do you believe he can be made well? And the father answered, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not, we are in a place, and it's okay to say, I believe. Like you rightly said, it's a matter of faith.
Mm.
You know, it's not the, you know, oh, you, because you know, everything that comes out of you, you cannot speak reality anymore.
Mm, mm.
The only thing you must speak is your future confession, you know.
Yeah.
If that be the case, then you know what? You're never hungry.
Yeah.
Why are you eating?
Tired too.
Why are you sleeping?
Yeah.
Hey, go back to work.
Yeah, true.
And it's that we've got to get the balance right.
Yeah. I think it definitely it's about the balance. Definitely. But another thing I wanted us to also just go into, because I do believe that our words and I know I'm not the only one who believes that, it's just like a given, but our words definitely stem from our thoughts. Like, it begins with thoughts.
That is the root.
That is the root.
From the depth of the heart, or the abundance of the heart,
the mouth speaks.
Yes. And I in the book of Genesis, Genesis, we know it all started. The key thing, it started with words.
Yeah.
You know, the earth and everything was without void, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering, was hoovering. Hey, you're Nigerian. I'm sure you've heard that.
I've heard that.
Don't even come in here and pretend.
I've heard that.
The Spirit of the Lord was hoovering over the face of the earth. I'm like, mate, you know, how dirty was the face of the earth? Goodness, and I didn't know who was wearing that at that time. Yeah. So the Spirit of the Earth was, the Lord was hovering over the face of the earth. Great.
Yeah.
Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And every translation says it that way because that's how it works in English.
Mm.
But when you go back to the original language, you know, Aramaic or Hebrew, whichever one of those two, I think Hebrew, I don't know. I'm not even going to go there. I didn't do Hebrew in my course. I did Greek, though.
Okay.
Only in the first year, so I'm not an expert. Anyway. When you go back to the original language, it actually says, and God said, let light be.
Mm.
And it's about the language. Let light be, present tense.
Mm.
Not let there be, almost like a future, you know.
Yeah.
So let light be.
Yeah.
And light is.
Mm.
You see, to say there was light is an indication that it's in the past.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're like that with our words.
Mm.
It's in the past. You know, it's like baptism. You know, people go into the waters of baptism, they come out.
Mm.
And they imagine that this new life is something in their future.
No, but it's now.
It's now. Yeah. And it's now. It's got to be your now.
Yeah.
You know, so walk it, live it. You know, and there's an element of that, but it starts in the thought life,
because
you're not going to live in the now if you're thinking in the tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you understand what I mean.
Yeah, true. And I feel like, you know, even as you were talking, I was just thinking that a lot of this comes with grace, because we just need grace being like the help of God, because it's a very difficult. I think the thing about thought life, it's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong lesson, knowing how to overcome those thoughts, you know, the negative thoughts, because like I was saying earlier, we do have an enemy, and that is where, like, Joyce Meyer's popular book, Battlefield of the Mind, that's where he does all his fighting. That's where he does all his fight. Anxiety, honestly, starts with the mind.
Honestly, I hear you and say that's what he does. That's where he does all his winning.
Okay.
I wanna say it.
Yeah.
He fights in all sorts of places, but he wins there. Before any, once he's won there, it's it.
Yeah.
Every other battle is easy for him.
Exactly. Because the things that we, like, you know, anxiety starts with the mind. Depression starts with the mind.
Fear
starts with the mind. Even suicidal thoughts start with the mind. You know, so that is where it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, before you know it, your mouth starts saying those things. And it's really just the grace of God to help, because it's, sometimes for a lot of people, it's a real struggle.
Well, I'll tell you this. I actually said to somebody yesterday, now this person has gone through, you know, terrible difficulty, isolation, loneliness, pain, bereavement, all sorts of things. This person has had their heart broken. But I said to someone, and this person had been to church, and you know, we were talking, and had worshipped God, and apparently it was a good service or whatever, and you know, and I'd said to this person, "How are you doing?" We were just talking, you know, we're in this call, this conversation. How are you doing? And the person said to me, "Oh, things are really, really difficult right now." And I said, "What is your confession? Is it well?" And the person said, "No, it is not." And in that moment, I'll be honest. Hey, listen, I'm not bulletproof. In that moment, what crossed my mind is, I don't know what I can do for you.
Yeah.
Because if your confession is, doom and gloom is mine.
Yeah.
I don't know what I can do for you.
Yeah.
If you're saying, you know what, I'm going down into the pit. I don't know what. If you're saying I don't want to go into the pit,
yes.
You know, it's the where we're facing.
Yes.
Where we're facing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Something was in my head, but anyway, we need to go on a break.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll take.
Will you remember?
I will remember. I'll hold on to it.
Hold on to it.
We're gonna have another song. I can't remember the title of this one now.
Well, thinking about it, it's so interesting because this one is also a little bit apt. And we talked about him just a moment. Oh, I talked about it, I think. Oh, did you? I don't know. Bartimaeus, you know, shouting.
Yes, you did.
You know, shouting, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Do you remember the song now?
Oh, I surrender.
No. Oh, my. You can't make stuff up.
Pass me not, so gentle Savior.
That's the one. And you know me and my jazz, right?
Yeah.
So pass me not, so gentle Savior. Kirk Whalum.
Oh.
Welcome back. This is Being Mindful and PHBC Radio. Thank you for joining us. That was Do Not Pass Me By. I really loved it. Nice, catchy, upbeat. I was humming here along with the song. It's very beautiful. So again, if you want to be part of this conversation, like the whole point of this, yes, it's myself and Pastor Deji talking about this, but you are part of the conversation too. We want to hear from you. How do you manage your words and how do you manage your thoughts? What are the challenges that you face and with negative thinking or just thoughts of fear, and how has the word of God, or how in your Christian life, how are you just working it together so that we can learn and others can learn as well? Send your questions, send your responses. You can reach out to us on the PHBC Radio app. Just tap on the link that says contact the studio and send us a message directly from there. You could also get in touch with us at PHBC London on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and we will read your messages. And for those of you who have been sending questions or just contributing to the show, we are very, very grateful. Thank you, and keep it coming.
Well, on that basis, let me read the next question that we've had. Says, you know, really enjoying the show. Thank you for that. Here's the question. How do you develop a godly thought life if you have been so used to being negative? Mm. So a situation where maybe you're aware that you need to do it, but you struggle to speak in faith. You struggle to have a godly thought life. How does one do that?
Okay, so I'll say for me, from my personal experience, one of the things that helps me is having people around me who are people of faith as well. And I know that when I share these things when I share my struggles with them in terms of we all go through something, right? So even if it's, I remember there was a period, let me just really be practical. So there was a period I was actually like looking for work before I got in here for school. Mm. And I remember like really being discouraged. And of course, the devil just, messing with your thoughts or my thoughts and, all sorts of worst case scenarios coming up. What if this is how it's always going to be and you will never, I remember that thank God I come from a family of faith. So all my siblings, like we're all faith people, and they're people that I know that I can lean on and turn to when I'm having those kind of struggles. And so I had reached out to one of my brothers, and he just encouraged me. Like, he just spoke life to me. He gave me some scriptures to meditate on. He gave me, he prayed with me. He gave me scriptures to meditate on. And then he gave me a beautiful song. In fact, after that song is like one of my all time favorite songs now. And so I feel like for me, that is one way, because in this journey of faith, you can't do it alone. Mm. You can't do it. Isolation is the worst. Like, that is really, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I think that's one of the ways that Satan even like works as well. When he gets a person isolated and just cut off from everybody, then he does that finish them business, So get connected with people, with a Bible believing church, with, just have people around you who can actually get alongside you and speak life to you, and can be honest with them. You don't have to like dress up your words. You can say what it is, and then they can stand with you. That's what I think.
It's so interesting that you what you were saying, because I 100% subscribe to that. Mm. There's for me, and I've said this many, many times privately and publicly, I've said it from the pulpit several times, one of Satan's favored weapons of choice is isolation. Hmm. He will pull you aside to deal with you. Yeah. And we see examples, several examples in scripture. Yeah. You know, when Satan, right from the Garden of Eden, Satan's conversation with Eve wasn't a three-way conversation. It was a one-on-one. It wasn't a conference call.
Yeah.
You know, number one. Number two, I talk about David. Mm. You know, David, when Satan visited him and said, hey, you know, he wasn't even communing with God. He was alone on his rooftop, pointing his eyes where he shouldn't have been pointing his eyes. Moses killed the Egyptian, he wasn't in the middle of the brethren. Okay, forget all of those. They're human beings. They don't know anything. They're fallen, frail, whatever.
Yeah.
Jesus himself, after baptism, Jesus, himself. When Satan tempted him, where was he? In the middle of the disciples? No. In the synagogue, in the temple?
No. In the all alone.
He was all on his ones.
Yeah.
Do you know? And Satan, his favored, one of yes. his favored weapons of choice
yes.
is isolation. Yes. Don't worry about them. Don't tell them. They won't understand. They don't know what you're going through.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's
yeah.
just you. You know, you have to deal with it on your own. Don't tell anybody. This is going to be so shameful. This is going to be so, you know what? Like, I love the way you said it. You don't need to dress up your words. You don't need to dress up your pain.
Mm.
No need to dress up your situation.
Yeah.
No airs and graces. Come. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Come. Say it as it is. And I 100% believe that. I was talking to somebody today, one of those pastoral conversations, and I said, and this is somebody who has a child.
Mm.
And I said to this person, and this is someone who's in faith, Christian, baptized, believer, has a child, you know, and is feeling that sense of, sometimes I don't feel like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I said, you know the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm.
I said to the person, I said, you need to change your village.
Mm.
And that's one, for me, one of the ways in which we can address this issue. Thank you to the person who sent this question in. You know, if you're struggling, how do you develop a godly thought life? If you've been so used to being negative for so long, you know what to do. You struggle to speak in faith.
Mm.
The language, it's like saying, how do you drive a car?
Yeah.
Get in a car and drive. Get an instructor and hang around people who drive. It's the truth. How'd you learn to drive a car? Get off the bus.
Mm.
Change your village.
Yeah.
Change your village. How do you learn a language?
Mm.
I speak a number of languages.
Mm.
I don't, and some of the languages I'm stronger in than others. Why? Because I was in the village.
Yeah. Of those who also had that.
Absolutely.
As well. Yes.
My weakest language is one I started learning a few years ago, and I had opportunity to travel and use that and grow in that. But over the last couple of years, I used to go out to Ukraine.
Yeah,
so over the last couple of years, and particularly after the war,
yeah.
that ain't happening. But that was an environment in which I actually learned and started learning and grasping Russian. Because Russian is a very prominent language in Ukraine.
Okay.
Yes, and obviously because it's Russian, it's spoken in other countries as well.
Mm.
You know, it's a bridge to other languages, etc. So I opted for that.
Yeah.
But I haven't used that. I haven't hung around Ukrainians Russian-speaking people in the way that I previously did.
Mm.
Change your village. You want to grow in your thought life. You want to grow in your word life.
Yeah.
You know, change your village. That's my counsel.
Yeah. And another thing I would like to add to that is just who is... So there's this sermon of T.D. Jakes that he did last year, and I really love it. And it's titled Tomorrow Belongs to God. And, you know, I've listened to it a couple of times, but there was a day I asked myself, that word, tomorrow belongs to God, that phrase, it will either instill faith in you or fear, if you don't, depending on who that God is. Because if it is a God who is strict and punishes people and, you know, he's just out to get you, and hearing that tomorrow belongs to him will scare you, because it's like, oh, what do I expect? But if he's a God that, you know, he's loving, he's merciful, he's full of grace, that will give you hope. And when we look at John, I think it's John 14 verse 1, where Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. You know, you believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I would not tell you, if it were not so,
I would tell you.
And we need to just know that that's who God is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, because that also helps with the negative thought. Sometimes it's like we think, is he going to come through? Is it going to come through? Yes, this is in the scripture, but is it going to come? But he basically is saying in John 14:1, I'm not here to fool you.
Yeah.
You can trust me. If I told you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
So you can bank
it's
on
as
that.
Good as done.
Exactly. So I think a lot of times the negative thoughts, which are like fear and doubt, is because we're like, is he going to come through? You know, tomorrow belongs to God, but this God, can I trust him?
Mm.
And we can. And we just need to remember that we can.
Ooh la la. We can.
Yeah,
we can.
Yes, we can. We can trust him. I do believe that that's where, I do believe, especially speaking for myself, I know that that's where a number of my fears usually stem from, especially when you've been waiting. It feels like you've been waiting on a change for a long time.
Yeah,
but you can't trust him, because he said, when I saw that scripture recently, I was like, wow, like Jesus is like, I won't deceive you. That's basically what he's saying. I'm not going to, you know, as children, I remember like as children, when we'll tell our friends like in primary school, my father is a pilot. We have an aeroplane at the back of our house.
Okay.
You know what They're just saying all sorts of things just to one up the other person.
Absolutely. My dad's a superhero. He can fly.
But that's, Jesus is like, I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. Yeah. I am telling you.
There's no hype.
Yeah, it is true. So if I say I'm going to heal you, I'm going to heal you. If I say I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you. If I say I've forgiven you, I have forgiven you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to one day just say surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a joke. So yes, I just want to encourage just everyone who's listening that we can trust God. And when we know that, yes, Satan will still come and try to introduce fear and doubt. But let's just remember John 14:1, we can trust him because he does what he says.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? No, you know what, Norma, we can't. I don't think we've finished on this topic. I really don't think we've finished.
Yeah, I think there's.
I don't think we've finished. I, you know, and the power of words.